them and how we grow from them, how we use those deficiencies as testimonies of God's work in our life as he helps us deal with them. And so we talked about that in length, and tonight, maybe going a little different direction, it will touch a little bit on last week, but I want to talk based upon Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 16 through 19. This is a focus verse for tonight. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Everybody say inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. I know about you, but that's of interest to me, to really know the love of God, to really understand what is the breadth and the depth and the height, and to understand the dimensions, the reality of a walk in relationship with God. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, is how that we grow in our walk in relationship with God, how it becomes more and more real to us, to truly know the love of God, to truly know how God interacts with us and how we interact with God, to be real so that he is more real to us. Remember, one of the things we talked about at the very beginning is, what if we came to understand that the more real we are with God, the more real he becomes to us? The more our walk and relationship grows with God. And so tonight, the subject matter is this: real versus portrayal. Real versus portrayal. Not just what I portray, but what is real. And I understand when we're talking about, like last week, we talked about dealing with deficiencies. The reality is that we all have deficiencies. The reality is, if we're going to be real with someone, then that means that I have imperfections, that I have weaknesses, that I have areas of my life that are not as strong as other areas. And so we talked about that. But tonight we're going to focus on maybe a more specific manner, in the sense of, am I truly being real or am I just portraying? Am I being real about who I am, what I deal with, what I struggle with? Am I being real in what I present to the world? Am I being real in my integrity and my character? Do I sing songs like "No Place I'd Rather Be, But I'd Rather Be Somewhere Else"? I'm talking about being real versus portrayal. Being real in who I am and my thoughts and my feelings and my wonderings and my musings and all that is me, all the emotions that make up who I am, my personality traits, my good points, my bad points, my strengths, my weaknesses. Being real about who I am versus portraying to others something I am not. Real versus portrayal. So let's start off with a little bit of fun. Don't want to get, you know, Here's the tagline: finding authenticity in an increasingly fake world. Finding authenticity in an increasingly fake world. Now, question: how many people here have a camera with them? Well, you can raise your hand if you have, if you have a smartphone, you probably have a camera or a camera app. Yeah? You have a camera? Raise your hand. Keep it up. Keep it up. How many of you have a camera with you? Okay. That's all right. Second question: how many people here have taken a picture this week? Sometime this week. Keep your hands up. Taking a picture this week with your camera, phone, whatever. All right. How many people have had film developed this week? Wait a second. Many people had cameras. Many people even said they've taken pictures this week, but how many people have had film developed this week? Nobody. I don't see anybody raising their hand. Nobody had the film developed. We say, well, duh, Pastor, we're not using disposable cameras or 35 millimeter cameras anymore. We're all, we got smartphones, we got camera phones, and so there's no need. I mean, if we want to have them developed, we just send an email to Walgreens and go pick them up. And we can do that in a matter of moments. Remember when you had to wait to see what you actually captured in the photo? How many of you remember Polaroids? Remember those? Yeah, the big, you know, cartridge that you put in there, and it'd flash, and it'd come out, and then you'd sit there and you'd shake it, trying to get it developed faster so the light would react, and all of a sudden you could see the photo that you actually took. Remember that back in the good old days? Back when you would take the little canister and make sure it didn't, you know, get open, so you could take it to Kodak and they could run it through their imaging machine, and then you could wait and you'd get that little envelope with all those nice pictures, and you'd look and you'd be like, oh, that was what I took. That picture. The family photos, it would, you know, be awkward because somebody in the family would be doing something that was just different from everybody else. Remember those? Remember when they had microphones that didn't squawk all the time? Betrayal. We live in the age of innumerable retakes. Capture the image, and immediately, if you don't like that image, beep, delete. Retake. It wasn't too long ago, my family and I were at an event, and it was a show. And before the show started, there was a couple down in front of us, and this woman had to be in her late 40s, early 50s, and I'm not saying that to demean her or anything. I got to be careful. I'm almost there. But this woman took like 20 selfies and just kept snapping, and she would, nope, not good, retake, 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 and she'd move her hair a little bit aside, retake, and she'd smile big, and she'd poke the chin out so the double chin would leave, and she'd retake. Oh, yeah, some of y'all laugh. You know what I'm talking about. You know those tricks. Yeah, get the angle up here so it's, you know, the angle's much better. Retake after retake after retake. Keep snapping until you get the perfect shot. Keep taking it. Even now, even professional photographers. I was at a wedding not too long ago, and the wedding photographer, she would take a picture, and then she would look at the image and say, oh, I need to correct the lighting. And then she would do this and say, okay, just a couple more, until she got it just how she wanted. And then when the camera was set with all the light, and I don't know all that stuff about photography. If you saw my pictures, you would probably know that. But even in the age of professional photography now, it's all digital images, and you can retake. And now, even if you can take it back to the studio or to your program, and you can edit, because the image is everything. So the image you portray, I'll spit it out in a second, has to be perfect. Has to be the best that can be. And so, you airbrush, you Photoshop, you touch up, you crop, you edit. Anything to remove the blemishes, the undesirables, the imperfections. Do whatever. Now this, a couple years ago, my wife and I got our engagement pictures. And we got them back, and a few of the pictures, I took them off. I said, my teeth aren't that white. Evidently, the photographer thought I needed a little help in the area of teeth color. And so he decided to Photoshop some whiter teeth. Look good. Like, yeah. Be a toothpaste commercial. Look at that. But you airbrush and you crop and you edit and all this stuff to get the image correct, because what you portray is so important. What people see, that post that you put on there, those 20 selfies it took to get the one to put on Facebook. Let me ask you this. What is real? The one that you put on there or the 19 you took before? Oh, see, now we're going to get deep. Now the laughing and giggling is going to stop. So we're going to talk about real. We're going to talk about real versus portrayal. Because here, what is portrayed in our society, what is portrayed is more important than what is real. Now, stay with me, because I'm going to, hopefully, by the end, you're going to understand where I'm coming from and why I would incorporate something like this into this study that we're having. Because when you think about it, here's a question, and it's one that I've even thought about of late. What is real anymore? Many of you know recent events that took place tragically in Las Vegas with the mass shooting that took place. And my wife and I, we were looking at news reports and looking at Facebook. And I think it was either this morning or yesterday, she asked me a couple questions. And I told her, and with all sincerity and honesty, I said, babe, I don't know what to believe anymore. Honestly, don't. Hey, there's so many different reports, and there's so many different things, and there's conspiracy theories and all these other things, and there's video, and there's evidence, and there's undeniable evidence, and undeniable evidence contradicts other undeniable evidence. And I told her, I said, babe, I don't know what to believe anymore. And when I said that and I left, I thought to myself, that's pretty sad. I don't have the faith in our news agencies anymore. I don't. Now, just stay with me for a little bit, because I'm going somewhere with this. We're living in such an increasingly fake world. It's fake news and fake stories and fake profiles and fake posts and reports and even fake quotes. I can't tell you how many times I've looked up a quote that was ascribed to somebody, only realized that person never said it. It's best they can tell. It's fake, fake. Everywhere is fake. And so what is real anymore? What's truly real versus what is portrayed? Because when you think about what is portrayed, and we're going to talk about it in depth, when we're talking about portrayals, we are talking about an agenda. Stay with me. If things we interact with externally lose their authenticity, then what? Stay with me for a minute. If things that I read and things that I see and things that I hear and the things that I'm able to access externally with my senses, if I start questioning all those things, if the reality that I live in all of a sudden becomes questioned because I don't know what is real anymore, I don't know what to believe anymore, I don't know who's saying something, I can't find anybody that's completely objective because they all have an agenda and they all have a particular persuasion that they're trying to get forth, and so they have to portray something. And so I began to think to myself, what then? If I'm questioning all these external influences that I have even in my life and society of today, and I'm questioning what is real anymore, and I see a video and I question, was that edited or was that real? I hear a story and I question, is that a real story? Did that person really say that? And I realize it's a symptom of our world. It's a symptom of social media. I get that. I understand that. But can I ask you this? From a personal perspective that I have in my own life, if I'm questioning all these things and all these things that I interact with on an external basis, what then what? Where do I separate? How do I know what is real anymore? Is it that authenticity is leaving us, and that what we are experiencing is a big facade? It's a lot of portrayal without much reality. You see, the more we question the input we receive, the more doubt, distrust, and skepticism we entertain. By my own admission, I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know who's really giving me news instead of their agenda. I don't know who's really giving me even statistics. I don't know. Are those statistics now, are they skewed to favor the agenda? Is what being portrayed? How do I know? I didn't personally go and ask all those people. I know it's going to get tight in here. But see, that's the reality in which we live, a reality that has become more about portrayal than what is real. A reality about more about what they want you to believe or what they want you to think or what they want you to know. I remember it wasn't too long ago. It was even one of the conservative news stations, I believe it was. They had this tagline that just infuriated me, because their tagline was, "What you need to know." Who are you to tell me what I need to know? Maybe I need to know more than that. Maybe I don't need to know that. Maybe what you're telling me, I have no desire to know. Who are you to tell me what I need to know? But But in this world of it's becoming increasingly fake, and it's about portrayal, it's about image. I begin to think, God, help me. Help me to know. Help me to decipher what's real. Help me. How am I going to be able to navigate when my own senses will start to betray me? When what I see has been edited or it's been cropped or it's been photoshopped. And so what I'm actually seeing is not what is real. Now, you may not voice it, but I think some of you understand you're in the same boat that I am. And so all these external influences, just like, man, I'm sick of the garbage because I don't know what's good anymore. I don't know if any of it's good anymore. It all seems to have an agenda. It all seems to be a portrayal of what they want the reality to be, but it's not the reality. See, portrayal has an agenda attached. It seeks to persuade with bias, and it's idealistic. To portray, it seeks to persuade with an agenda. It's wanting to persuade you and I of something that may or may not be reality. And dare I say, in this day and age, a lot of it is seeking to persuade us of something that is not the reality. Mind control, conditioning. I'm not trying to get all these theories. What I'm trying to say is that we live in an increasingly fake world. That yes, to some extent, when we talk about these things and we see these things in our society, we do look at it and question, are all these external influences and all this input that I receive, is it all skewed? Does it all have, is there a spiritual agenda behind it all? I know some of y'all look at me like I got a third eye now. But real versus what is portrayed. Real versus betrayal. Betrayal has an agenda. It's trying to persuade you and I of something. It's trying to get its agenda across. It's idealistic. It's trying to romanticize reality. Betrayal wraps reality with deception, becoming the proverbial wolf in sheep's clothing. See, I have Bible for that. Look at what Jesus said, Matthew 7:15. Beware of what? False prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. But do you know what this verse follows? This verse follows his discourse on the narrow and broad way. Straight is the gate, and few there be that find it. I thought to myself, man, we are living in a society where it's a fake world almost. What we interact with so much so now. Even in the form of our entertainment. Even in the form of movies in Hollywood, it's all about superheroes and these unrealistic abilities and unrealistic romances and unrealistic achievements. I kind of like a good history one that's pretty accurate, that talks about things that did happen. Why? Because all these influences that I keep getting, they seem to be so fake and so unreal. So how do I find authenticity in an increasingly fake world? How do I truly find a relationship that is real, that is not masked or shrouded by something, that doesn't have its own agenda, that's not seeking to portray something that's not what it truly is? More importantly, how do I assimilate that in my walk and relationship with God? How do I take the reality in which I live and make that and intertwine that in my walk and relationship with God, where there I recognize there's imperfections, and I recognize there's deficiencies, and I recognize that there's help that's needed, and I recognize that there's so much more than what I currently have? And I begin to think along these lines, and maybe your mind doesn't go there. But I thought to myself, does this world become so increasingly fake and the portrayal becomes so increasingly wrong that eventually people will, they will accept an authentic evil simply because it is authentic? Now, maybe your mind doesn't go there. But if we're nearing the end time and we're setting the stage and the world as a society as a whole is setting the stage for the Antichrist, the one that is going to be anti-Christ, anti-righteous, anti-good, how is a world going to assimilate or accept someone like that? Could it be that we will become so increasingly fake as a culture that we will be willing to accept something that is authentic even though it is authentically evil? Maybe I'm speaking before my time. I don't know. But this is what I wonder. God, how do I find authenticity in my walk and relationship with you? Do I have to just cancel out all the other input? Do I have to just steal myself away? Do I have to become a recluse of society? Do I have to not have any exposure to the outside influences? Because when I do, they seek to skew me and they seek to persuade me and they have their own agenda? That's an honest question. I'm sorry, but that is an honest question. With the intent and motive of saving myself from this untoward generation, this perverse and wicked generation, this generation that is all about image and portrayal and not about reality and not about real and authentic, what do I do, God? How do I live? How do I exist in that type of society? Let me take it a little step further. How do I go to church and rub shoulders with other people that I know, like me, are seeking to betray or portray, if you will, rather than be real? I told you to go. That's an honest question. Because we all have the reality of our infirmities. The Bible says the Spirit helpeth us or make intercession for us with our, in other words, we all have weaknesses. You do a study of that word and it literally means, and I'm not being demeaning, it literally means we all have handicaps. The reality spiritually, we all have crippling. We all are, none of us are perfect. And that's the reality in which we live. That's the reality in which we operate. And we come to church and we often portray that we're living a perfect life and that we're doing things just as we should, but we know we're not. I know I preach along these lines, but when we talk about loving God with our whole heart, that's everything. That's the reality of who I am. In all the good and all the bad. Could it be that in the end time, that's really what this world is going to look for? And those individuals who are going to be they're going to be so done with all the portrayals and not really knowing. And they're going to look for something authentic and something real. And it's going to take. Because here's the thing, guys. Let me just put it where we live. If we're not careful, this skepticism, even when we see things like the miraculous and we see him posted on Facebook, that was staged. Now, some of y'all, now you see the reality in which we live. Now you see where we are going, or let's just say we've been on this course for quite a while. So how do we find authenticity in an increasingly fake world? Where does it come from? How are we able to know and decipher between good and evil? To know the right hand from the left? To know what is real and what is a betrayal? How? This is why real must remain the root of reality. This is why real must remain the root of reality. It can't be about betrayal. It's got to be about what is real. Not what I portray. Not the mask that I wear, not the facade that I bring. What's real has to be the root of the reality. Folks, as I read my Bible, the reality is God used a bunch of people with a lot of imperfections. The reality is he used a king who became known as one of the greatest kings of Israel, who was an adulterer, a rapist, and a murderer. And that's real. So, am I to understand, or you to understand, that the reality in which we all live does include our imperfections, does include those blemishes. It does include those 19 shots that were taken before the one good selfie. Yes, it does. Until I can start to wrap my brain around that reality that exists in relationship with God, instead of being the 20th shot that I try to come to church and portray, all right, I've stepped in it. You see, this is why many times we will remain in the pew when we know we need to go to the altar. Because image is everything. And what we seek to portray is more important to us than what is real. Because if we responded based upon what was real, I'd run. Not out of a sense of obligation. Not out of a sense because if I don't, I may get lost. No, you're missing the point. Run to it out of a sense of authenticity and real relationship with God. Because guess what? He already knows what I'm dealing with. It's keeping me in the pew. So if I'm truly going to be real, and I'm truly going to be authentic, and I'm truly going to get rid of all the fake and the portrayal, and I'm truly going to understand that he cares about the 19 other shots, not just the one that I try to portray to the world in post as being me. And guess what? That reality of my imperfections, that reality of my failures and my shortcomings, that reality of my handicaps and my infirmities and my weaknesses would cause me to run to the altar and say, thank you, Lord, for working with me. Thank you, God, that in the reality of who I am and in the midst of my imperfections and the blemishes and the 19 other shots that nobody else sees, but you do, you still love me and you're still working with me and you still want what's best for me. And so I choose authenticity, and I choose real with you, and I choose real in a relationship with one who knows it all already, and I present myself before you because you're going to help me deal with the deficiency, and you're going to help me deal with the reality of who I am, and you and only you can make the real me better. Everything else is my less than adequate attempt at a portrayal. This is what I portray. This is who I am. No, he knows who I am. He knows the depth. He knows what I'm dealing with. Real is objective. It just presents the facts. It doesn't seek to persuade. It doesn't have an agenda. It's not trying to convince you of something. It's not trying to cloud your conclusion with deception. Real is just the facts. It's objective. And that's what's scary. Here it is. That's why we struggle with real, because we realize it can go either way. We realize I'm not tipping it any one way or the other. Real is that tipping point. Real is that fulcrum that everything hangs in the balance. But real is where God meets me. Real is objective. It just presents facts. Anybody remember the catchphrase of Sergeant Joe Friday from Dragnet? Wasn't that? Anybody? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Don't try to persuade me of something else by portraying something or taking the truth and wrapping it in a little bit of deception or a little white lie. A white lie. But where'd that come from? If we call it a white lie, it's clean and good. No, it's deceptive. It's a portrayal of something other than what is real. It's not true. Like the old song, stretching the truth is telling a lie. Real doesn't attempt to portray away the imperfections, the weaknesses, or the deficiencies. You want to know why real is so important? The Bible says he knows the number of the hairs upon our head. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the real me more than I know the real me. And so if I truly want relationship and I truly want to grow and I truly want to know what is the depth and the height and the breadth and the width, if I truly want to know those things, then it takes being real. It takes getting rid of the portrayal. It takes getting rid of the fake and the facade. And it takes getting down to who I am and all that is me. See, this is why repentance is so, so important. And I think we do ourselves a disservice when we acknowledge people that because it's something that we do, they go down in the water. And I know I've said this before, and then people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'm all for that. And you know I preach and I teach that, but we need to get a focus on repentance as well. On people dealing with the reality of who they are. Of coming to God without facade and without portrayal of something and bearing my soul as to who I am and what I struggle with and what I deal with. And that opportunity for authentic relationship with God. Where I'm real and it's just the facts. It's objective, not trying to persuade. How often do we try to persuade God? Real offers relationship from a basis of truth and not that of deception. Excuse the joke, but I've heard it said before, all mail order brides look good in the photos. I know that. My wife just raised her eyebrows like, you got to be kidding me. He just said that. What I'm saying is portrayal is so different from reality. What is true and what is real is so different than what is portrayed. And in this world in which we live that has become increasingly fake, there is opportunity for you and I and others to experience real relationship. Relationship that comes from a basis of truth and not that of deception. Relationship that comes from the reality of who I am and what I deal with and what I go through. Not based upon what I'd like to have portrayed in my life. Portrayal will have us questioning what is real. I've already proved that. Where real will reveal what is being portrayed. Think about it. Portrayal will have us questioning what is real. Is that fake? Can I even believe that anymore? Where real will reveal what is being portrayed. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. You'll be able to determine what is real. You'll be able to see. It'll be authentic. Betrayal uses external influences to change us internally. Well, now we have skepticism and doubt and distrust and all these external influences, and betrayal, it changes us. And now we find that we're changing. Now I don't know who to trust anymore. I don't know who to believe anymore. And I have this, you know, this disconcernment in my spirit about the world in which I live, and who can I identify as being a good source anymore? I don't know. All these external influences of betrayal, they affect me internally, and I wonder and I question. Real uses the internal influence to change us externally. Real. Look, let me prove it to you. Ephesians 3, our focus verse. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Here, where it's real. I've done it many times. I've said it before. When we identify someone else, we point at someone else, we always point at their face, because that's what we identify. When we point at ourselves, we all point at our heart. Here, because we know this is the real me. This is where all the fake and the facade and the mask and the show, this is where all that fades away, right here. The inner man. And that's why the Apostle Paul said that you, according to the riches of glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? Because I don't know if you see it, but I see it. Doubt is running rampant in our world. Distrust, mistrust, disrespect for authority. Nobody has faith in anything anymore. They don't have faith in the government. They don't. Am I not being true? Am I not being real? That's why I'm also, listen, you can't get your faith from external sources. You can't find authenticity in external forces. You can't find what really matters out there. Where you've got to find what really matters is when Christ dwells in your heart. It comes from the inside, and it will change you externally. It changes what you do and how you interact with your world and the society in which you live. But it comes by coming inside. Changing you from the inside out. That's real. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. What is that? Dimensions. Dimensions. What? Reality. That I will know what is the breadth, width, the depth, height. I'm now able to experience God in all these different dimensions where he's becoming more and more real to me. Could it be? What if? As I become more real with God, he becomes more real to me. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. This is one of the reasons why church is so important. And it's not because everybody in here is real all the time. Let's just face it, that ain't the case. But it's an opportunity to interact with a God who in him there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is as real can get. But let me ask you this. What happens in a world that everything that they access with their senses and what they see anymore and what they hear anymore, what if they start disbelieving, there's doubt about all that stuff? What does that do in relation to a God that they can't see? Oh, Now we understand how it is so important that real remains the root of reality, because it's real relationship with God. And I've got to disengage and I've got to stop all that inflow from all those inputs all the time, because if I'm not careful, it will desensitize me to being able to see and to feel after God in someone. And I come into the house of God and I wonder why I don't feel Him like I used to feel Him, and I don't have that experience like I used to have. Let me tell you how to get back. It's authenticity with God. It's a real relationship with Him in all that you are. Lord Jesus, we love You. I thank You for Your word. It challenges us, God. Lord, I pray that we as a body of believers, God, that we would seek authenticity and real relationship with You. An increasingly fake world, God, that we would realize our help doesn't come from the external sources of this world. Our help comes from a walk in relationship with You, where You change us. We are strengthened, God, in the inner man, that we, God, have Your love in our hearts by faith, God. We love You, we praise You, we thank You, we honor You for Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace, for all that You are and all that You do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Ladies, if you'd be so kind to head downstairs and meet with Sister Grimm, that would be appreciated. God bless you.